In Romans chapter 5, we're going to be in Romans a lot, in Galatians a lot, because we're dealing with the grace factor, facts about grace, facts about the gospel of grace, facts about how a Christian really can be free. Now, I'll tell you, on last night, you can get the date and everything, those who are watching by internet, on last night, I did a special teaching in my school of ministry to correct those who want to use grace for an excuse. I know some of the students here, right? Yeah, well, I dealt with that tape. That tape need to be, your hand need to be on that tape, because if you don't understand, it may sound like the grace message is just a little easy message. Do anything you want and God don't mind. And no, it doesn't mean that. But on the other hand, it does mean freedom. Now, here in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice Lord Jesus Christ. Call his whole name. He's Lord of Lords, and he's Savior, and he's the Messiah. Now, notice verse 2 now, because it's going to have an impact on the subject we're going to deal with tonight. By whom also we have what? Access. You need to underline that word. You see, we're accessing grace, accessing that which is unmerited, unearned, and undeserved. We're also accessing, if you want to listen clearly, the favor of God. It's there, but you got to know how to access it. So, In reading the second verse, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now notice faith and grace working together again. You will save, you see in Ephesians 2:8, and you'll constantly see faith and grace working together. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. This grace. THIS grace, there's another disgrace, DISGRACE, if you don't know how to operate in grace. This grace, and then what it says after it says this grace. Look at it and see what it says. Now I want to emphasize that. Why we not put that verse up there and emphasize wherein this grace wherein we stand. That's so important. This grace wherein we stand. This unmerited, unearned, undeserved position that we have been placed in by, now listen to this term too, by the finished work of Christ, or by Christ dying on the cross. See, that's why God took me to studying the cross, because he knows he was leading me to this message of the freedom of grace and knowing how to operate in grace and knowing how to reign in life by grace and knowing how to win, be in triumph and victory by grace and getting over some of these hurdles that we have in the body of Christ, in Christian life, where it seems like they can't get breakthrough. All right? So notice now we stand in this grace. It's a grace we stand in. I said it's a grace we stand in. Now, if we don't know how to stand in grace, mean we fall. We fail. Or we don't find out how to get where we're going. We fall. We fail. We don't find out how to get where we're going if we don't do it God's way. And the cross, and Jesus dying on the cross, I would say myself, is the manufacturer of grace. And it's the keening of the new covenant, watch this now, of the new covenant of grace. And so grace is a lifestyle. You follow me? Now, let's deal with this. I want to stop right there on that verse. We really won't go down. You won't put your text down to the fifth verse. I may come back to it. I just want to read, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, here's what we want to deal with. Accessing the secrets of standing strong in grace. Accessing the secrets of standing strong in grace. In other words, you want to put another word is learning how to stand strong in grace. Now, I really believe two scriptures here I'm going to call that is not in my notes, but two scriptures I'm going to call is Philippians 4:13 and Ephesians 6:10. Those two scriptures you probably, most of y'all should know these scriptures, but turn to them anyway. Philippians 4:13 and Ephesians 6:10. I think both of these scriptures are grace-based. I think both of these scriptures are grace-based. When he says, you know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, I think that's grace-based. Then he says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong, where? In the Lord and in the power, his might. And in that same text there, when they're talking about the warfare of the believer, it says, after you've done all the stand, what? Stand. I believe you have to be standing in that grace, because that grace includes what Jesus did for us at Calvary. That grace includes the blood, the suffering, everything that happened. But God graced it on us. We don't deserve it, but he gave it to us. Are you following me? And if we know how to function in grace and walk in grace and stand in grace, it's a lot of hurdles we can make and don't have so much trouble. Now watch some of the things. If you learn how to stand in grace, what it's going to do is it's going to be increase your faith. It will increase your intimacy. It will bring you to a point of saying, with no shame, Abba, Father. All right? And then it will cause you to be stepping into the impossibility or to the impossible with possible strength. Wow. Did you hear that? See, this is a reality. This is no church game. This is no game. This is a reality. This is what the Lord has provided for us. But we have to do it his way. Increase your faith. Increase your intimacy with God. And then you know God as Abba, Father, the most personal name you can give him. And stepping into the impossible with possible strength. Now, I have to read another text ahead of time. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Because I want scripture backup on this. I'm about to say some things that I need to have scripture foundational backup on it. And then maybe we'll see it clearer. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Highlight, because it's the word of Jesus is read in my Bible, my grace. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. Now, let me read the 9th and 10th verse. 9th and 10th verse here. As Paul was dealing with something. We say it's some kind of demonical spirit that's trying to keep him from preaching the gospel. He had so much revelation. But then a revelation came about grace that we need to know. All right? I had the opportunity. I was talking to a lawyer today. And the lawyer, I talk about it because you don't know who it is. He's been married 3 times. And I said to him, I said, do you really have a problem with this? And he said, yes. He's very humble. He said, yes. I said, the problem you're having is you're weak because you're trying to be strong. See, he's trying to stop it. But if he knew what we are learning tonight, he can fall on his weakness. And then the Lord would do it for him. You see, what we have been trying to do in the church, we've been trying to do it through our strength with scriptures, with prayer, and which all are important, but they're to point us to our insufficiency, where God can step in and do things for us, break habits, whatever it is, whatever happened in our lives. See, and I told him, I said, now, what you need to do, son, is focus on your weaknesses and then ask God to help you. Tell God, I just can't do this. I'm married 3 times. I'm tired of all different marriage. I won't settle down. I won't do what's right. You know, I don't meet nobody I can't talk to. I don't care if you're a lawyer, whatever you are. I think the Lord, the word overruled all that. All right, in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, For my strength is made perfect in weakness. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. For my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. That sounds backwards according to world order. But he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. You know what I'm hearing right now? You know what I'm hearing right now? Get out of the way. Let me have it. Let me do it for you. You know, like the Bible says, casting all your cares on him. What else does it say? For what? He cares for you. See, that's what he's saying. Get out the way. He said to Paul, said, Paul praying and prayed three times. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect, complete, matured in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul said, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Hello. Look at the 10th verse, because I'm going to say something in a few minutes. You need to be up with me. Therefore, he says, I take pleasure in infirmities. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, and in distress for Christ's sake. Notice what he said at the end of this verse. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now go back up to the top of verse 9 now, because you got to see this. And he said to me, my grace. My grace. My grace is the key factor here. God's grace. He's saying my grace. All the things talk about persecution, and we deal with it, and necessity. So what I in the introduction here, accessing the secret of standing strong in grace, the Lord seemed, in preparing this, there's some things he said to me. He said, your weaknesses is a master key to the strength of grace. Your weaknesses is the master key to the strength of grace. In other words, recognizing your insufficiency, your inability, and I'm talking about in to function in the realm of spiritual power. Are you following me? Then the second thing you must understand, which would help you, is that grace triumphs in trouble. In other words, it's a God takeover. Grace is the master key in standing your ground as a child of God. I say three specific things that are very important, and you can deal with everyday life, everyday situation, everything you're dealing with. These things I'm saying to you, you can apply them to your life. Then in the introduction, he said to me also, talking to me, me and God in my office, he says, grace is the divine strength of God at work in me. Because of what he said, my grace is sufficient. My divine strength is sufficient. I know you can't handle this. You can't get rid of this with prayer. You're going to have to depend on me. Are you here? Now, tell me the subject I'm talking about. Accessing what? Secret is plural. Secret is plural. The secrets of what? Say standing strong in grace three times. Or you're not going to make it no other way. You're not. I don't care what else you know. The gospel of grace, the word of grace, is the only way you're going to really make it and be able to function strong as a child of God. Your weakness is mixed with God's strength. Your shortcoming mixed with a God who can't miss it. Are you following me? Now, one of the ways in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, I want y'all to be familiar with this, in 28, the intercessors are. But in Romans 8:26, it tells us about our infirmities. It tells us what happened when we turn our infirmities into the hand of a God, the Holy Spirit. And so praying in the Spirit, will stir the grace of God up in your life. And now the word stir means fan the flame. It'll fan the flame. Praying in the Spirit, when you're praying in the Spirit, let me say it this way. You fan in the flame of grace. That grace can begin to function in your life in a powerful way. What God already has done for you. You're already victorious. You see, but you have to know how to walk it out. And you can't just walk it out by faith as we've tried so long. You got to have grace there. You got to have unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor. See, we can't work our way. We can't be good enough. It's by his goodness. You see, and his mercy. And so you won't be so condemned and always guilty about things if you know you got weaknesses. Praying in the Spirit will stir the grace of God up in your life. That's what praying in the Spirit for. Look at it in Romans 8. I love it. This is one of my favorite passages. I just open the Bible to it and start praying in tongues. Start praying in tongues. Say, Lord, I'm turning my infirmities into you. You don't help me, I fall flat on my face. I can't raise my family. I can't do nothing. I can't pastor the church. I can't do nothing. I can't do nothing without you. So and then praying in the Spirit. The Bible says you're praying directly to God. You're praying in a language Satan can't hear. He don't understand what you're praying. Huh? And at the same time, you're building yourself up. So now you're suspending your senses. See, your senses don't like for you to pray in tongue too much because your senses knows it. You didn't get it. Yeah, your senses and your mind knows it. Your mind was in charge till you got saved. And see, when you go to praying in the Spirit, your mind go bazooed when it says, what in the world? Because it can't interpret it. It can't tell where you're going. It can't run nothing. So you shut your mind down when you're praying in the Spirit. Are you following me? And at the same time, you say stir, you're stirring something up, you're flaming the flame of the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That the Holy Ghost can give you supernatural intelligence. Good God Almighty. Supernatural intelligence to deal with the affairs of life on a different level. Did you hear it? Everybody say supernatural intelligence. Can't get that in no college. Supernatural intelligence is grace based. It comes from the Holy Ghost. It comes from the Father. It comes from heaven. It comes through the rim of the supernatural. Now, you know we're talking about supernatural grace, right? You know it took the supernatural for Jesus to die and get up, right? You know that wasn't no natural, you know, say, I'm just going to get up. You know, it took some power to overpower the world system, right? All right, so now, right here in Romans, you see in Romans 8, 26, likewise, the Spirit also. Now, that's what I want you to see. Help is what? Help is our infirmities. See, the Spirit help is our infirmities. The infirmities are there for a reason that you may know that you can't do this on your own. That's why in the old school they used to say, have mercy. We don't say that no more. You know, we say, have internet. Better go back to mercy, I tell you that. Likewise, the Spirit of heaven, our infirmities. Now, our infirmities will infirm in the aspect of the spirit world is so far advanced. It says, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself make intercession for us with groaning which we cannot utter. Look what he said. And he that searches the heart knoweth what the mind is the mind of the Spirit, not the mind, not the natural mind, the mind of the Spirit, The Spirit is capitalized because he make intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then we step off. Then you step off in verse 28. Everybody like verse 28. Read verse 28. All things. Come on. Now, that's a grace statement. No other way for all things to work together for you. All the hell we catch down here and all the different things we got to go through and all the different crazy people you got to deal with down here. And you talking about it, all things going to work together. It got to be a grace statement. It got to be something higher than normal. And that's a grace statement. But that belonged to us. We walk under the umbrella of the faith. Look at Psalm 512. We walk, we surrounded by favor. But you have to by faith, because the Bible said that which is not of faith is sin. See? But look, notice how the Lord surrounds us with favor. Psalm 512. I'm not going to read it, but I just want you to read it. Psalm 512, because I'm going on to the next statement I need to make. Standing in grace give us the ability, turn to Titus 2:12 now, give us the ability to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So you see why there's so much sin in the body of Christ? Because the body of Christ is trying to do it some other way in their own strength. But when a man got a habit, he should act a couple in school. He should acknowledge to God, I can't handle this. We act strong, but we're weak. And so if you don't acknowledge it, you got to acknowledge it for God to be able to work with. He know you got it, but you have to surrender. You have to surrender. And we're so shameful, and we're hiding everything. Putting a front on and know we need some help. Lord, I need some help. And then you can do it privately. Standing in grace give us the ability to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It gives us the strength to live soberly, righteously in this present world. That's what that voice said. Notice what it said. We talk about grace in the voice before that, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should, all right, but that's the negative side. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust. You see, that can cover a spectrum of sin, a spectrum of physical, mental weakness, habit. Demonical power trying to draw you from the holiness. Holiness is a conduct. This thing got to be real. It kept me 39 years. It got to be real, because it's just not normal for me to be kept 39 years, because I was a renegade. I was a fool. So if it kept me 39 years, I know it's real. I mean, this is not no secondhand information. And know what? I also know it's going to keep me until either Jesus come or I leave. It's just that powerful. But you see, teaching us that, go back to the other voice, because you got to get it. Go back to verse 11, because you got to get where we're coming from. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, now think about Ephesians 2:8, has appeared to all men. Now I'm going to tell us this grace didn't only save us, this grace is the thing that keep us, teaching us. And in the Amplified Bible, it said, teaching us to reject. Teaching us, I'll get stuck here. It has trained us to reject and renounce. What did that? Grace. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved, but it's a gift. I believe you can interchange grace. I know it's personified Jesus, but I believe you can put cross there too. Well, you know what happened with the transaction. Has trained us to reject and renounce all ungodliness, irreligion, and worldly, passionate desire to live. All right, that's the negative side. But grace worked two-sided. Now he goes on to live discreet. Temperance, self-control. And that self-control, that means that you're yielding. Upright, devout, spiritually whole. Then he didn't want us to make no mistake when he told me he wasn't talking about heaven. To live in this present world. Huh? Come on now. Come on. Look at the two sides of grace. What grace do? Grace stops sin and bring in holiness. Grace stops sin and activate righteousness. So the reason I'm believing, listen to me, the reason I'm believing that the body of Christ have had so much trouble in living right, they have not understood the message of grace. We came out of no Bible study, no Bible going to church, got a Bible, passed, and then went over, and then now you got a lot of Bible knowledge in your head and in your heart, but you can't work it without grace. What a life we were raised up for such a time as this. We were raised up to bring this into the body of Christ, that the body of Christ can know that there are insufficiencies and there are infirmities, and your weaknesses are there for a reason. They are there that you cannot try to handle things yourself, that you will turn your life over to God. And then God grace, God goodness will stop you from going in that world. That world, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory in anything except the cross of Christ, who have crucified the world unto me and me unto the world. That's grace talk. So he teaches you how not to live and how to live. Give you power not to live a wrong life and give you power to live the right life. I'm glad the Holy Spirit wrote that verse where there's no argument. You cannot interpret that verse no other way. You can read what translation you want. You cannot interpret that verse no other way. That verse is saying that the strength of grace is the very strength that keep you living right. And the strength of grace stop you from doing anything that's not glorifying God. Amen? Thirdly, I love this one in Romans 5:17. I'll be teaching this one for a long time. But I want to make a statement as we talk about accessing. We talk about accessing here. Accessing the secrets of standing strong in grace. Knowing how to stand in grace will cause you to stand in a reigning lifestyle. In other words, you win every time. Now, we're going to find out in a few minutes you're going to have opposition, but I'm going to show you how to handle that. But this Romans 5:17 is a powerful verse. You know, it's talking about, I went back over studying in Romans chapter 5, and it used the word one a lot too. For by one man offense, death ran by one, much more they was received. Now, you got to see, believing, faith is in there. You can't receive nothing from God without faith. The word faith not written there, but it's in there. They that receive, you can't receive abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So right here, habits, damnable things that try to take your life over and make a fool out of Christ and make the church look bad. That's why I had to preach that message last night. Because I don't want nobody riding this grace message and they're going to stay in adultery all their life. And I don't know whether they're saved or not. They're a jerk. That's what my friends say. They're a jerk. You talking about grace got me. No, you're a jerk. I don't know whether you're saved or not. We're talking about people who in their weaknesses fall in some way or tricked by the devil. We ain't talking about nobody who take their lunch bucket to do this stuff. You follow what I'm saying? Ain't nobody stupid up in here. We ain't talking about that kind of mess. That God ain't gonna close his eyes on that kind of mess. You would have made this out of occupation. Never think I'm stupid about this. I'm just trying to teach grace. But I no. Now, very seldom, look at somebody and tell them new. Yeah, you see, now I'll give you the how much more principle Sunday. Who was your Sunday? Yes, sir. How much more principle? I'm going to deal with it some more. But I'm about to give you something now. I want you to turn to two scriptures. I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Galatians chapter 2. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
All right, now you know we're accessing this grace. I'm about to teach you another principle that I know will work in your life, and I know you can work it. Okay? You might put in your note Luke 9:23, because I know you can work this thing. And it'll be powerful to you, all right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, the Apostle Paul waved the flag over his ministry and declared what caused his ministry to be so powerful. And if this can cause Paul's ministry to be so powerful, what about our ministry? What about our lives? What about our families? And what about what we're dealing with? All right? This is such a powerful voice here. The Apostle Paul wraps up his whole ministry in one verse. He says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? And this grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now, I can put a hammer there, boy. Not in vain. You see, and to a large degree, in the body of Christ, this vain, this grace has been in vain. See, we're so busy trying to be strong, we won't acknowledge our weaknesses. We're so busy trying to please men, we miss the audience of God. Because now, to a certain degree, man's opinion is stronger than God's declaration. Are you following me? And we want to make sure, sort of like God don't see me. But we want to make sure that man, when man see me, I got my front on. And see, that's where we mess up at. That's how we got in a lot of debt, because we saw what the neighbor had. I went to a man's house one time. He brought me to an open shame because all he had was a shotgun house. But the dignity and how elaborate he talks about his house. It was a straight through. Go straight through. Got me to believe it, man. I said, hallelujah. I'm up in here. But there was such a grand appreciation. And you see, we should have that with God. God know we got weaknesses. God know everything wrong with you.
Amen.
And he still love you.
Yes.
And stop trying to please men. That's what get us in trouble, trying to please men. You know, if I dare you do this. See, men will tell you, I dare you. I dare you. So now you want to prove something. You go jump, do something stupid you never did in your life before just to prove something, some little knucklehead. Don't do that. Listen to God.
Amen.
See, everybody doing well. Let everybody go. God ain't called me to do what everybody doing. All right, so now, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. Watch what he said now. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored. See, it don't mean you don't do nothing. More abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. I'm going to teach you a principle in a few minutes. Go to Galatians 2:20. Go to Galatians 2:20. I'm going to teach you a principle. This principle is paramount in operating in grace. It's paramount in being more than a conqueror. It's paramount in being a victor, being victory all the time, triumphing all the time. Watch it. Galatians 2:20 and 21. I'm going to read them both now because I want you to, you with me? You here?
Yeah.
You ready to win in life?
Yeah.
All right, watch this, because you ain't dealing with nothing. Not if you got this straight, you're not really dealing with nothing, because the enemy is nothing compared to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So when you functioning right in the grace of God, the enemy must bow.
Yeah.
See, we just got to function right. In Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I want to continue reading verse 21. What verse 21 said? Ho! Read it again. Ho! Right. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Here's the principle I want to teach you. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Grace release the not I principle in your life. In both words, Galatians 2:20, 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, you have this not I. That's a must for grace. I call it, I'm just going to be calling some principles out to you because I'm trying to get this grace factor out. Just like the much more principle. I never heard it in no book, nobody. I made it. Now, here's another one that the Lord is helping me. The not I principle. You remember that, right? The not, when you get in trouble, oh, I don't have to do this. It's the same thing. That's why I told you Mark Luke 9:23. It said deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. And follow after me. See, this not I principle give God a chance to work in your life. And that's what Paul was saying. Paul said, everything I do is by grace. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:10. Everything I do by grace. But then he get down to the end of it and said, he giving grace all accreditation. Then he said, not I. Yet not I. Now, you face the devil with that. Yet not I. He know you know something. You see what I'm saying? Yes, we have our scripture. Yes, we make our confession. Yes, you must spend time in prayer. But you also must have the not I principle. See, this get rid of pride and selfishness and, you know, think you're more than somebody else. No, you need to die. And see, if you don't, now go back to Galatians 2:20. The same thing is in there. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Then, but he goes on now. He says, now, don't frustrate the grace of God. So I believe that when you try to do things without yielding to the Spirit of God, you're frustrating grace. You're stopping grace. You're blocking grace. You're almost somebody telling the Lord, you know, sometime in the street talk is, I got this. You don't got nothing. And I say it that way on point, but you think you got it. So just yield it, yet not I. See, even though you got the grace, even though you have spent proper time with God, you know that the anointing is on you, and you love God with all your heart, that's fine. But you got to remember, it's not I. That not I principle, see, the much more principle for Sunday and the not I principle tonight, I don't know where it's going to take you, baby. It'll take you places that you've never been for in the spirit world. You know, just work on it. Ask the Holy Spirit about it. You know the much more principle. In other words, you look at everything you got and you add it up and say, God want me to have much more in there. You want to be a steward of much more. We sell her too much. And then the great apostle Paul, both times in the scriptures, he's telling us that the not I principle is so important. And I don't want to frustrate the grace of God by getting in the way. That's what happened. We're getting away. Sometimes even with our children, we just got to get out the way. I mean, we can't do no more. You've done all you could. You done pulled every plug. You done prayed. You done did it. Just got to get out the way. And say, not I. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Let God handle it. What? Y'all don't want to talk to him up in here. Let God handle it. Let God handle it. Tell the neighbor, let God handle it. See, that That's why you his child. That's why you his child. Let him handle it. It's too big, too much for you. Are you listening to me? We'll do one or two more. That scripture we read in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, I want to make a statement there. You go back to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. I want to make a statement that's going to be a blessing to you. I started the statement off like this. Now brace yourself to find out that you have been missing what you've been missing in life, not knowing the real power of grace. So a lot of things we're missing in life, not knowing the real power of grace. I want to deal with this in my closing, because I think you could carry this with you and it'd be a blessing to you all the week and the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Yeah, you receive it. Right. You see that verse back over in 2 Corinthians 12, 9, he said, my grace is sufficient. You see that? For my strength is made perfect in weakness. More gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You see now, the reason we couldn't glory in our infirmity is because we were judges. Somebody tell you you got a problem. Oh, Lord. Jesus. I didn't know that about her. There's a whole lot you don't know about her. There's a whole lot she don't know about you. You see, but we good at hiding. You know, Easter don't stand a chance with us. We can hide some stuff, boy. I'm about to hide the Easter egg. Man. But you see, but we're coming out in the open now. You see, everybody else coming out. Yep. So we need to come out the closet. And let grace, and take a bath in grace. And don't be embarrassed because you struck out twice. Life is not over because you struck out twice, man. Life is not over. And the church should be loving and kind like she should be to deal with real, genuine people. I'm not talking about the person who's trying to make an excuse to use grace, but I'm talking about genuine people who have had trouble in their life, might have come down through many generations. We should be here to help them. That's why the Bible tries to teach us the culture of honor. Bible said, take care of the other person because you don't know it might be you next. You say, who, me? Yeah, you. You ain't no solid rock. You ain't Jesus. We all need help. All right, let me try. I gotta get to this. And he said, look at the 10th verse. Therefore, I take pleasure. This is crazy, man. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmity. I'm weak. Hallelujah. So it don't sound right, does it? But you see, the Bible works opposite from the world. Yeah. See, God specializes in taking nobody and making them a somebody. I'm one of them. You one too? Yeah, God specializes in taking weakness and no good people and make them good people. Yeah. I know it's the truth. God specializes in taking what the world laughs at, and when the world see them again, they ain't got no more laugh. God specialized in that. Yeah, Lord, but I did. He said, that's all right. You won't go with me? Yes, Lord. He said, come on. I'm gonna wipe your life clean. Yeah, he specialized in that. He specialized. Praise God. And that's grace. I'm so glad about it. Well, where would we be tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God? Well, what would you be doing? What would I be doing? Some things Gene and I done before we came to this point of recognizing that we wasn't our own captain. Where would we be now? Where would I be? Where would Gene be now? Where would Gus be? Where would we be? Now, here's what the Spirit of God is saying. My grace is ready to take you to another level. Write that down and put the date by it. My grace is ready to take you to another level. Since you're learning how to function in it, you're functioning in my grace by acknowledging your weaknesses, by acknowledging your infirmities, then my grace have space to work for you. You don't have to be guilty because you have a shortcoming. That's who God worked with. But finally, you're going to be out and over. Out and over. And where the enemy cannot pull you back in that thing anymore. There come a point where that thing got to be broken. That yoke has to be destroyed. And grace specializes in destroying yokes. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessity. Look at the 10th verse. Look at this. Load it, because I'm going to go over this. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses. Put this verse up. You got it up there now. Put it in another translation. Put it in the Amplified or something. I read it in different ways. That's it? 2 Corinthians 12:10. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. For the sake of Christ, I'm well pleased and take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, and distresses. For when I'm weak, the human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Come on, give God praise. See? We all have some of this, and I want to run through that right quick. We all have some of this. Grace is your standing ground in reproaches. Now, here's some words, synonym for reproaches. Blame, discredit, and disgrace. Grace is your standing ground. When you run up on a disgrace, when something happened in your life that you're embarrassed about, run to grace. See, grace is my standing ground in insults. In other words, insult, another word for it is attacks, offense, demeaning. See, grace, but grace is my standing ground. Next one is abuse. See, so a lot of people have been abused in life, but grace, you can stand in grace. You've been, maybe somebody been misused. You still can stand in grace. Don't let that thing stay with you the rest of your life. This grace is not no life sentence. Grace is your strength in necessities. Now that's not a word. Let's see, 12. Necessities. Go to another translation there. What is it, ESV? What one that is? A message. Now I take limitations in stride. Ha, ha, ha. Limitation in stride. And with good cheer, these limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, opposition, bad breaks. Anybody ever had a bad break? I just let Christ take over. I love it. Come on. Highlight, I just let Christ take over. I just let Christ take over. And so the weaker I get. Y'all believe this?
Yes, sir.
See, this is what grace is all about. I just let Christ take over. What? He can handle it. I just, come on, say, I just let Christ take over three times. Wow. Did you hear that? Did you hear yourself saying that? See, there come time. See, it take the limitation. Grace take the limitation off you. See, grace take you from natural, human, secular, academic, physical, mental strength to divine strength. Divine strength. Notice, see what he's saying here. Now take limitation in stride. What Paul said, you know, so I can't do this. So it seemed like I can't handle this.
Come on, Dad. Hmm? Come on, Dad.
Huh? Like I'm going to take the big guns out for this.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So I'm going to let Jesus take over.
Yes,
sir. Now, you know that as long as you pressing to get your life straight, that the Lord ain't holding nothing against you. He's going to help you over and over and over again. Now you're not condemned. You're under no condemnation. You're under no guilt. You're under no punishment. Now I want you to get the hand on the tape from last night, because you're under no condemnation with God. But if you get far enough in Satan territory, Satan's going to bring his condemnation on you. You're going to have self-condemnation, and you're going to have the world condemnation. All right? And Satan trying to get you further enough out there to punish you. So you got to have some fear about this now. Don't think you're going to just dance around like a puppet on a string. All right. Now, I'm closing now. Now take limitation. Now I take limitation in stride and with good cheer. Everybody else hiding it. These limitations that cut me down to size, abuse, accident, opposition, bad breaks. I've had a few of them. See, now, persons won't tell you they had a bad break because you know, you're a great prayer. You're the great Bible scholar, you know. So I don't have no bad break me. I'm so close to God, he can spit in my eye. Even. No, I just let Jesus take over. And so the weaker I get, the stronger I become. So in my conclusion, here's the question the Lord will ask you. How can you sit here and say you're in bad shape?
Yeah.
Just because you got some things that are not working like they should be working, let Jesus take over. What I say?
Let Jesus take over.
How many of y'all trust him? How many of y'all believe he can handle it?
Yeah.
Now, prior to this message, you know, Jesus said, search the scripture for in them you think you have life, but they testify of me. Huh? And the Bible talks about having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, right? I'm just trying to think of some scripture that can align with this fact. There are things we have tried to do ourselves. And we constantly fail with it. All right? But now, by understanding the gospel of grace and the word of grace in Acts 20, 32, the word of grace, you need to meditate that, that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance. See what I'm saying? And so that the gospel is good news. But the gospel had been perverted and dirtied by men not knowing how to rightly divide the word. And it got a whole lot of God's people in tradition going through the same old thing. They're not free. Some of them will never get delivered on this side. They go to heaven. They love God. But they'll never enjoy half of the benefits that you all enjoy. Because they don't know it. They will never enjoy it. They're going through the same old slave song trying to get out of here. Want the Lord, swing low, sweet chariot, or stop by your Lord and pick me up. I got enough of this mess. You know? And I mean, that's just all they know. And they won't leave their mother church. You need to leave the mother church. The mother church has been the problem. Now, most of y'all left your mother church. And I'm not talking about your mama. I'm talking about the mother church. I remember this lady come, this girl, I thought I saw her tonight, two sisters and the grandmother. I don't know whether the grandmother brought them here or they brought the grandmother here. But there's two sisters. The grandmother going home to be the Lord now, but I had some good time with her. And she lived to be an old age. But she brought them. She, as old as she was in age, or how can I say, I don't want to say old. As blessed as she was in age, she still had enough sense to know. She told him, God said, we're going, yeah, this church, we're going to right here. She said, this what this man teaching, y'all need to hear this. And I think she was planning her, you know what I'm talking about, right? I think she was planning her granddaughter. So she can go to glory and have to be no concern about him. She know they was in the right place, and she know they're getting the right training. Amen?
Amen.
All right, that's enough. Y'all got it? Y'all got it? Did y'all get that? Yeah. So don't worry about your shortcomings and your weaknesses. You know, let Jesus take over. It sounds so easy, but he said my yoke is what? Yeah, right. Tired, worn out with religion. He said, take me. All right, let's everybody here saved? How many, who here not saved, never accept Jesus Christ?